Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show.
The dictator of Tomania, the conqueror of Austerlitz, the future emperor of the world. Speak. I can't. You must. It's our only hope. I'm sorry. I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone. The good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. We have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are not cattle, you are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Passion in intensity. It's a complicated fusion. We are catapulted towards death. The mystique I adore is the beating heart of those who share my life. This is their legacy, in obscene glances, laced in silver.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Tony the Beat. I'm glad that you're able to join me. You can find me in such things as this podcast, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and all your other platform social media needs. Also, you can download this podcast via Apple, Android, Stitcher Premium, Spotify, and all your other major podcast outlets. I'm glad for you to join me today. I've got a lot to talk about. Quarantine is on my mind. I don't know about you, but I'm going crazy. I didn't know how to start this podcast, and I came across the speech that you just heard of Charlie Chaplin in the movie The Great Dictator. And it made me think, what in the world is really going on? What is it that we are facing? We are facing different struggles, different challenges. And how are we going to meet these challenges, really? I was going to get married in October, and coronavirus came out, and, I told Sherelle, you know, that when we do decide to get married, the world's going to end. I was kidding. I was really kidding. So, God, forgive me. If that's what this is coming to. I've stopped all media, reading, watching, consuming. I recommend you do as well. It is depressing. It's depressing to the max. I mean, if you think about it, all you're reading is negative stuff, and you're putting negativity into your mind. And what are you going to put out into the world? More negativity. So I got rid of it. I was off Facebook for so long that it really helped me with my anxiety and depression, taking a break from that. It was a hard choice because I liked writing jokes and talking to people, but I figured, no, I'm seeing too many ads for erectile dysfunction or donate to this cause, or it was a lot of sad things too. I couldn't deal with it no more, so I deleted the app. I was pretty good for 6 months, and now I'm back on it like daily, but I'm taking another break. I think taking a break from social media, there's studies that have proven that it helps the mood increase. You get happier. Social media was a weird thing. It was supposed to bring us all together, and it's just tearing us apart in so many ways because we have all the negativity unleashed. We've got people typing on their computers and their keyboard warriors trying to make a point and argue, and it just got to a point, I think, that the world had to stop. Everybody was offended. Everybody. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't say anything. You couldn't look a certain way. Everything was offensive. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be offending to those that have issues and stuff that they're dealing with. I understand. I'm respectful of it, but come on. We were dealing with people throwing meat at... I'm okay with that because I'm vegetarian, so I kind of get that. But, you know, I wouldn't go as far as throwing meat and blood on people. I just... You live through example. You just live through example. You do, and show the world a better way, and not feed into the negativity that most people do, as in social media. You can read in comments just now. I mean, look at this pandemic, this crisis we're in as a world, and people are still politicking and trying to, you know, get their point across. Oh, Pelosi this, Trump that. And no, it's a time for us to come together, not further separate and add to the tension. It's unbearable now, and I think the world needed to stop. Not like this, with people dying, but relationships and memories were not being made. People were becoming drones and looking at their phones constantly, updating their status, getting depressed by other people's statuses because, oh, that person's on the vacation, that person's got a new car, this person has new kids. I don't know, name it, and people are posting it. I don't know about you. Well, I post my depressing stuff out there. Everybody knows I have issues. So what it really comes down to is everybody's in competition with each other and trying to be and outwit and outdo one another, one up each other, get a new car, get a new house, live in ghetto fabulous. The world has changed because it had changed so rapidly. I mean, I'm a kid of the 90s, and I look at times of how we live now, it's totally different. I remember Pogs and Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles, playing outside, drinking from the water hose, being thrown out outside of my house naked because my brothers thought it was a good idea at the tender age of 4, because my mom thought, yeah, let's have these two guys, my two brothers, let's have them babysit me while I run to the store real quick. Yeah, I've got problems. You know how the podcast was of sharing about different traumas and stuff. So I'm sharing my experience of this quarantine and the crisis and emotions I feel and things that have come to mind when it comes to where we are at a time like this. We had to stop. We were killing each other. We were hurting each other, stealing from each other. Everything was censored. You couldn't say gender specifics or, I mean, too much is going on. And I think it was time for us to stop and look and see what it is that makes us happy. What is our metric of happiness? Because it's not complaining. It's not out protesting. It's not out... I mean, yeah, stand up for things that are going to make a difference and stand up and speak out, but don't attack a person that feels or views the world differently is what I'm trying to say. Because we're all unique and we're all different. As long as you're not hurting anyone, go for it. Do what you want to do. Make sure that you're happy, but you're not hurting anybody. And so if protesting makes you happy, go out, protest. Make your issues known to the world and stand up for something, but don't come down on someone else and hurt them because they have a different view. Words are not going to hurt you. They're going to damage you. Certain times. I'm talking about childhood and things like that. but allow everybody to have their views and platform, just like I have this platform with you guys. And it's just amazing that I'm able to still do this. And it's made me reevaluate a lot of things. I put a podcast out called The Metric of Happiness, and apparently it's deleted off of the platforms. I don't know why, and I don't have a backup of it for some reason. There's like 3 episodes that I did not back up. And so I want to cover that again a little bit, because we're in a time of crisis. We are losing people we love. We are in a constant fear. We are in an anxiety-ridden world. And we are in a depressing time. A lot of people are falling into depression and falling into that hole. And I just want to throw a little rope down there to maybe hope and get you out of issues and the troubles that you're having right now. We're all going through it. I know you may have lost your job. You may have lost your savings. You may have lost your home. But those are all replaceable. Those are all stuff that you can get back. And I know this from experience. Growing up, you know, I was homeless, and I learned that lesson early on in life. Material things don't matter. Even though the world tells you that, it's a lie. It's a marketing ploy for you to spend money on $300, $400 shoes, $500 shirts, watches, iPhones. iPhone, if you're listening and you want to support, endorse my podcast, sponsor it, that's the word I'm looking for, hit me up. But it's something that we have to reevaluate, because when we are in our final moments, what do you have left? What are you clutching onto tightly at the very end? Your life. Da-dun-tsh. That was a joke. You're clutching onto the memories. The memories of the life you had. And yes, I used the word had. We don't know when that time is going to come where our life is going to end. And that's a beautiful thing, because if we knew, I think we would drive ourselves crazy. And not knowing gives us the opportunity to live. And most of us are afraid to live. We exist, but do we really live? What is living? What is happiness? How do you measure it? These are all the things that most people find hard to even grasp. I didn't know what most of that meant. I measured happiness in things that I couldn't control. I always wanted to be rich and not famous. I don't think I could handle that. I like privacy. But I was just trying to get at is that there should be a different metric of happiness. We've been measuring our happiness completely wrong. And now that I think about it, I'm fortunate to have made so many good memories with the people I love and the people I have around me. What comes to mind when I think about my life is all those people and the simple memories that I experienced with others. And it's something that I'm grateful for to have. It's made me the person who I am today. It's made me want to help others. And so that's what I'm doing. And with us being in quarantine, it's really gotten me going crazy. So what I think I want to do is, as I'm recording this, we're going to go on Facebook Live and have no one join us there. We've got David Velasco on the podcast. How's it going, buddy? He's typing out on Facebook. I'm not tech savvy whatsoever, so I was just, I thought it would be cool if people just wrote in questions and or comments. It's just trying to break the quarantine because we can't talk or hang out anymore with anybody because we're all going to get sick and die. Another thing that I wanted to say is I'm an uncle again. My buddy and his wife, they had their baby, Christopher Alenez. That's my buddy Adon and his wife, Claudia. I keep saying, it's like I'm going to have to edit this a lot when I put it together. But we have, I don't know how you see if there's one, there's only one person here. David, thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, you have anything you want to say, let me know. Share that I've gone live because I don't know if I did that right. Back to what I was talking about, though, is that when we cover the metric of happiness, a lot of us put our happiness outside of things we can control. A lot of people put their happiness in what you would say is self-destructive, something that when you put your hopes and dreams into something that you do not control, and when it fails, you find yourself depressed, which is what most people fall into. And what I think most of the world has fallen into at this point is we're all just consuming. It's, we gotta have the new, I'm old school. We gotta have the new Jordans or whatever. The Yeezus or Yeezy. I don't know. I'm too old for that. I think it's time to take back control over what we measure our happiness with. And I think that's memories with people, loving one another, treating each other right, making memories with those we have around us that we love, because we don't know when our time's going to come. I didn't expect this crazy coronavirus to break out and kill half of us. And now we're sitting in our houses and eating bags of Doritos. I'm going to gain like 20 pounds out of this. It's insane. I got 4 viewers and I don't know who's watching. Anybody have questions? We're doing a live podcast. I'm kind of talking about the world slowing down and I lost a viewer. We're just kind of covering what it is that makes us happy. And with that, I was saying that there's a lot of people in the world that measure their happiness with money, cars, boats, material things. And that's just going to leave you pretty much depressed because all those things can go away. A Dorito. No way wants to know what a Dorito is. I'm living in the future, my friend. In the future. 2020. If you would have asked me in 2020, like if you would have asked me in 1991 what 2020 would be like, I would have told you we would have had flying cars. We would have had robot maids. Robot dogs. I wouldn't have said that we were in a place where we're locking ourselves in our home. No, wait, so material things like boats and hoes. No way wants to know, he said, wait, so material things like boats and hoes? And so being stuck inside has brought out a lot of people's inner emotions that they've hidden behind for many years by keeping busy, and now we're all locked down and depressed. I know a lot of you may deal with depression. I know a lot of people deal with it silently. For me, I spent many years hiding the fact that I was anxious and depressed. Mental health was something I did not like. I thought it was for crazy people. Oh, I've got more questions. Yeah, you're only fan. Yeah. No way is my only fan. Tried to write out a question, but I'll try again. Oh, David tried to write out a question, and I don't know who else is here. But I did have a question that someone asked me when I posted to Instagram the other day. What was the biggest challenge you faced during quarantine? And everybody said depression. But someone said, how do you deal with depression that's always been there, but you've hid it really well? You don't you don't let it surface, you just keep it buried. And for many years, it stayed there. And I thought about that question. That's a lot of us, I think, to a degree. We're all facing adjustments and changes in life. I think we all suffer from adjustment disorder to a degree, because life is always changing, and it's either you keep up or you fall behind. And a lot of the times, I find myself falling behind. I went back to school at 27. And man, I was in class and these kids were using all this slang that I did not understand. I forgot what they were telling me, but I had to Urban Dictionary it just a little bit. And then I was like, oh, I know what these kids are saying. I'm not the kid in the class anymore. That's weird. I was an adult learner. Am I selfish for not wanting to be at work because I want to feel safe? My job is cleaning, disinfecting for others. No, it's not. It's not selfish at all to want to protect yourself. I think that we all deserve the choice to make at this time to either stay at home or work. And I think for most of us, staying at home is good. It's draining. It's hard on someone's mental health. I think when work, I think there's a lot of employers that are doing that where they're shaming. I'm hearing a lot of people where they're shaming their employees for not coming to work and looking down on them and being condescending. And it's a job. It'll be there when we all get back to the world, if we even make it that far. Everyone's acting so crazy about work and, you know, making it an issue for others and making it hard for others. But I was in a store and I was hearing one of the other managers talk to an employee and asking the employee to stay, but they weren't feeling well. And I was just like, let them go home. They shouldn't even be here. What is wrong with people? Chad's such a rude dude. I don't think it's selfish at all. I think your employer should support you at a time like this. It's something that we've never faced before. And what's more important, your employee's safety or the job that will always be there? We got to start looking at each other in different ways and showing compassion for one another. Because, what is this, milk? Milk? Marco, what do you mean milk? Oh. But yeah, people facing job loss and uncertainty. I'm in the same boat. I started in private practice. I thought I was going to go full time, and I thought it would take maybe a month to build up my clients. And now I'm working from home and I have very few clients again. I made the decision to stay home, so I understand where you're coming from. I figured that if I was not placing my well-being at the forefront of everything, that then if I'm not there, my clients won't have that support either. So if I'm no good, I'm no good to my clients. So I made the conscious decision to stop going to work and stay home and do telehealth, which I find it very helpful, not just for me, but for the clients that call in and are able to talk, because they're in the same boat that we're all in. We're quarantined. We can't go out. Life has stopped. So, but back to making memories with those that we love, I think that is a wonderful thing. Memories are something I hold near and dear to my heart, because I know that at any moment, someone I love can be gone. And I look back at taking my mom and Shirley to Disney World those two times we went. And I got a story for you. So I'll share a story with you on how our second trip to Disney World went. We flew out and our plane was canceled. So we had to drive an hour out down south to another airport to catch a flight to San Francisco. Well, I'm afraid to fly. Well, no, I'm not afraid to fly. I'm afraid to die. In that manner. That's not okay for me. I would say that we were late. The plane got The first plane got canceled, and we were late. The second plane was late taking off. San Francisco was fogged in. We finally took off, got off the flight, had to make our connecting flight in San Francisco, which was on the other side of the airport. We had to take this bus. We had to ride over to the other side. They took us in through this other entrance, and we were running. We were, all three of us were running. And all I had in my head going was, shit, we got to make this flight. We got to make this flight. We got to make this flight. And on top of that, it was the music from Home Alone where they're running through the airport. You know, that one. Don't know the lyrics, but we finally made it. We finally made it. We made it in the nick of time. They were going to close the gate. And they're like, oh, you're here. So then they're like, we're going to have to split you guys apart. And I started freaking out. I'm like, I'm not okay with that. Just not okay. And so we finally, I convinced one man to switch his seat. And we all got to sit together. So it was cool. It was a good flight. You know, it was comfortable. I was watching movies and hanging out and eating food. Got to Orlando and our bags are missing, and Shirelli, being Google, she's like, I told you that us getting a connecting flight was bad because they're going to lose our luggage, and this is what's going to happen. And I was like, oh, I'm never doing anything right. But yeah, she was right. She taught me a lesson. If you have to fly, do not get a connecting flight. It's too much trouble. Just drive to your nearest international airport or big airport and just do it that way. Because Shirley was right, dude. That was insane. We had to go report our luggage missing. So we go in, and my mom is already in there. And, Shirley's already in there talking to them, and she's upset. And me and my mom are standing there, and this other lady from the airport comes out of the counter and was like, oh, excuse me. This lady, she's acting crazy. We apologize for that. My mom's all, who, her? And points at Shirley, and she says, yeah, I'm sorry, ma'am. So my mom decides to go off on the lady because she's all, that's my daughter-in-law. And so Shirley's mad at the counter lady. My mom's mad at the other lady. I'm trying to diffuse the situation because I'm already anxious enough and I don't know what to do. So we are arguing with the people. They're going to kick us out. They're going to call the police or whoever to come get us. And I'm like, wait, our bags are missing. And they tried to tell us that we told them to ship our bags to Chicago. And I still don't understand why that. We just say that they got shipped to another place or they didn't make the flight. Don't tell us that we shipped that we wanted them to go to Chicago. That made no sense. So we were stuck in our clothes that we wore because none of us decided to pack except for Shirelli. She packed her spare clothes and stuff. And so she was just went about her day. And I was in the same clothes for about 2.5-3 days. And I was distraught. I just couldn't handle it no more. Luckily, our bags came. The trip was wonderful. The trip was amazing. We got to do a lot of things that we missed the first time. We went during Christmas time. I recommend when Disney and all this stuff passes and Disney opens again, go to Disney World. Go to Disney during the holiday season. It's the best. I highly recommend it. If you're wanting to make some memories with your family, that's the place to do it. You can use my promo code. No, I'm kidding. I don't have a promo code. But if Disney, if you're listening and you want to sponsor, feel free. Wonderful trip, beautiful memories, and then we come home. And so we get on the plane and there's a storm, but it's like normal. It's normal in Florida for it to always be storming like that. It's just crazy weather. And so we take off in the plane, and it's all right, you know, at first. And so we go through one storm, turbulent, we go through a second storm, more turbulence. We go through a third storm, more turbulence, a fourth, more turbulence. We went through 9 storms, and the whole time I was scared that we were going to die. And I'm sitting there, Shirelli is just reading her book and enjoying her flight, enjoying herself, enjoying her Coca-Cola. And I'm clutching onto the seat arms with all my might. Shirley asks me a question. I don't recall what it was. I didn't want to be spoken to. I told her to be quiet. Don't talk to me. I can't handle this right now. She tries to hold my hand. I grab her hand and almost crush it. I return to my mortified state sitting there. And this whole time, we're over Texas by now. I had to pee really bad. Really bad. And so I didn't, the seatbelt sign was on, and you know, I like to follow the rules and stuff, and I didn't want to get up, and you know, but I had to go. So I finally, I'm like, F this, I gotta go. I did my seatbelt, got up, started walking towards the bathroom, and the flight attendant, he comes up and he says, "Sir, the seatbelt sign is on." I'm like, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, sir. I really have to pee right now." And he was just, he's like, "Go ahead, but be careful." And so I get in there, and I'm trying to do my business, and we hit this bad pocket of turbulence, and I literally flew into the ceiling, and I was peeing everywhere. I felt so bad, and me being the way I am, like with germs and stuff, it wasn't a good sight. I tried my best, and I walked back to my seat and apologized, and actually, I never spoke of this until now. Yeah. And we land. And I'm thanking God. I'm just, thank you for letting us make it. I thought we were never going to make it. And being in an airplane in that tube, oh, that's insane. It gets you claustrophobic. And oh, it's just a terrible feel. If you don't like to fly, don't fly. So we make it, and then we have to wait for our connecting flight from LAX to San Luis. And so we're waiting, and the flight finally comes in, and it pulls up. And I have like this flashback, and I'm like, where have I seen this plane before? Where has it been? Yeah, it pulled up, and it looked like the Big Bopper Express. You know that plane in La Bamba where they all fly up into the air and die? That's what this plane looked like. It was a little two-engine plane, and so I call it the Big Bopper Express. Get on, and this thing is tiny. I'm just like, man, this plane, man. These were built to murder. And the flight attendant starts to go over the spiel about emergency and everything. And she says, in case of this, in case of that. And then she goes, in case of a power out, an emergency power outage, the power in the plane went off. And she didn't know what to do. And it wasn't a joke, because her face, her expression was legitimately like, what just happened? And I start telling Shirelli, we got to get off the plane. We have to. We'll drive home. We can get the money. They can keep the money. They can keep it. I'll drive home. Shirelli just keeps telling me, calm down. They'll fix it. We're not going to drive home. I'm too tired. I got to go back to work. I think she went back to work the next day. And so, yeah, she made me take the flight. and we took off. And it was windy. And I'm not like, this is like tornado windy. The wind starts pushing the plane to the left off of the runway. I'm not the only one that notices this. I look across the aisle, and the look of fear, utter fear, panic and terror is in my mom's face. And I'm like, this is where I get it from. I'm just kidding. But there was other people in the plane that got, like, there was this guy across, and he looked frightened, too. He was just, like, he was looking around, like, back and forth. And then we took off. I don't know if that's normal. That might be something normal that planes do that. I don't know. But we were pretty close to the end of the runway, the edge of it, not lengthwise, but widthwise. All I know is I kind of blacked out for the 30-minute flight. And, got home safe and sound. Our luggage was beat to hell. And the airlines tried to deny that it was them. Other than that, it was a lovely trip. Lovely trip. Now, I was mad at the time about all this. But now I look back and look at the memories I made. That's a lovely story to tell. It's beautiful. And so, I think what I want to leave you tonight with is think about all the memories you've made in your life and those that you love. Reach out and tell them. We have social media now. We have text messaging. They're a phone call away. People that you haven't talked to in a while, let them know like you're still around and you still care. Let's get closer as people and not farther and distant. Let's not let politics and religion and all this other stuff that pushes us apart continue doing so. Let's just put those differences aside and respect one another and just reach out tonight and text, call, FaceTime, send a direct message. Just tell that person you love them and you miss them. Because we don't know how much time we have. We don't know how the world is going to end, or not end, but how the world's going to go on from this point. And I think if we come together as a people, we'll overcome this. So I think it's time that we get closer. And I hope you have enjoyed this experimental podcast. I don't think I'm going to edit much. I want to keep it the way it was. I am deeply grateful for all of you that have listened and stuck around. And I think I will be back next week, God willing. And I hope that you and your loved ones stay safe. For Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat. I will see you next time and spread hope like fire. Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.